Appreciate your prayers. I can barely breathe. Recently, the Lord brought to my attention the thought from some verses and an odor of sweet smell. And I was moved by God to do some research on actual odors in the world, smells in the world, what we smell. And I was surprised to find out about Brother Michael Smith. Might know a little bit about this, but there's the malaria parasite, I found out, gives out an odor that only the female mosquito, that's called Anopheles gambae, something like that, that she smells it and she's attracted to those people carrying the malaria parasite. So there are some people that could be swarmed around by mosquitoes and another person that could be right in the next room and not be really bothered. And that really intrigued me to think that this is a self-preservation thing that God has put into this malaria parasite to, it makes the person smell sweet to the mosquito. And then she sticks in a little straw and gets her slurpee, blood slurpee, and goes off to the victim. And I appreciate that verse in Philippians, praise the Lord, Philippians chapter 4, I believe it is, verse 18, says, "But I have all and abound," Paul the Apostle said. "I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God." And he doesn't tell us what it was that was sent, whether it was money or food or whatever, but it might have been something that didn't really have a sweet odor to it physically. But it was the act, the spirit behind it, the Holy Spirit movement behind it, that was to God an odor of a sweet smell. And I thought about this parasite in some humans, that it attracts the mosquito to itself. Only a mosquito can smell it. And the Lord brought to my mind that only those that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, those that are of a broken and a contrite spirit, those that are of an honest heart, are the ones that are going to be attracted to us who are bearing the Spirit of Christ in us. And it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is Christ in us that gives us that order. An order that only the honest soul can be drawn to, the broken and contrite, the humble, the seeking soul. So I just love those phrases. I know you all do too. And throughout my ministry, I've been moved to speak about this, but this is a totally different way of thinking about it as before. The Lord brought new thoughts to my mind. And so I want to daily dwell in that garden of the Holy Spirit, where the odors can penetrate my heart, my soul, my mind, and that would draw those souls that are seeking, not to myself, but to the one that is in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I also thought about this way, that I desire to daily live in such a way that I am laying on the altar, that my life, my commitment to Him would draw Christ to me, and that my life would be a sweet odor that He could feed on too, because even as we desire to be fed, God desires to be fed too. And I desire that my heart and my life, my spirit service would be a service that would be feeding His soul, and that He would be finding it sweet unto Himself. I like that song that says, 187 in the Evening Light hymn book, "My beloved is so fair." Is any fair? Is the television more fair to you? Is the internet more fair to you? Is the world's entertainment more fair to you? Not to me. My beloved, who's our beloved, saints? Jesus Christ. "My beloved is so fair to me." So it says, "My beloved is so fair. How His breath perfumes the air." And that is so beautiful to think that When we hear the true ministers of God and when we hear the true saints of God, we're not just hearing words. It's the breath of God being breathed through them that are prophesying, speaking, singing, praying. And that air, that breath of our Savior is so sweet to us that it perfumes the air in our soul. Praise the Lord. How His breath perfumes the air. Concerning this, the mosquito and other diseases, did you know, I didn't realize that diseases have a certain scent to them also. Asthma, tuberculosis, diabetes, numerous cancers, teeth diseases, heart, liver, and kidney disease, and many others, they have a particular scent and smell to them. And what some scientists have developed is a briefcase-looking device, a briefcase-sized device that pulls air or odor from the skin surface and collects VOCs in a filter for later laboratory analysis by using gas chromatography, if I'm saying that right. But what they're doing is they're putting this contraption on your skin, and it's emitting an odor, a smell. It could be the smell of asthma, the smell of tuberculosis, and they're hoping to use this, medical field is, to quickly diagnose whether you have these diseases or not. And I found interesting that, you know, crossing the border into Mexico, they use dogs to, I'm sure you've seen them if you were across the border, with a chain. From time to time they'll go around your car and the dog will sniff your vehicle. Sometimes they'll open the vehicle in the trunk and they'll sniff it. And you know what they're looking for. They're looking for illegal drugs. And they train the dog to be able to detect it, and he'll bark and he'll scratch in that area, and you're caught. And so I found interesting that they're wanting to train dogs to sniff out asthma and diabetes, etc. Isn't that interesting? That God has put that ability in a dog to be able to smell a disease even. They're working on that. And I'm so thankful that we have the Holy Spirit in us. And He's able to sniff out what is the truth and what is the fake. And we cannot be deceived if we have Him in us, abiding in us. And think about some other verses. Praise the Lord. This isn't talk about smell or savor, odor, but it came to my mind, the book, before the book of Revelation, the Epistle of John, chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And, you know, my wife and I don't want to go too deep into this, but just generalizing, we left a group that we were a part of from childhood up till about 2001 when we decided to leave it. We thought it was the truth. We thought it was the Church of God. It, in our heart, it rung true, but the Lord showed us otherwise. But it tells us here that we are to try the spirits, and I thought of it this way. We can taste someone's attitude, spiritually speaking, and we can smell it. It literally permeates the whole room. It affects everybody around you. If you notice, sometimes somebody's mad or edgy, it puts everybody on edge. Our attitude can affect others. And it's the same way with something that's not right, that doesn't ring true. Something that is not does not have the aroma of Christ, the aroma of the true doctrine of Christ. And I'm thankful that the Lord has given each one of us that. We might have had our senses exercise to that point that we might be able to sniff out every false doctrine and every false thought, but may we exercise those senses and try the spirits to see if they be of God, because there are false prophets, and He said that many false prophets would arise from among us. They have, and they will continue to do so, and may the Lord help us to taste and see and to smell. Smell and taste are associated to one another. The way of our sense of smell is organized. It is through the nasal membranes in the nose that contain olfactory sensory neurons that aid in detecting smells, often referred to as front door senses. The sensory neurons that are connected to the brain discern odor molecules that are sent directly there to identify the smell. And I've seen a picture of this and how it works. It's very interesting how God developed us. I was thinking about this. God is able to smell. It tells us in Genesis chapter 10. Praise the Lord. Chapter 9, 20. It says, "And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took up every clean beast and a very clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore every living thing as I have done." And Noah was sacrificing of the clean animals. There were 7 of each one. And I appreciate the thought that when God smelled that sacrifice, it was well-pleasing to him. It was something clean that was offered to him, like our lives laid upon the altar. I won't say that it changed God's mind, but it made him promise that he would not destroy mankind this way again. It was when he smelled the sacrifice that Noah offered. And I enjoy, as we all know, as God's people, it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And what is it that will keep God from destroying us on the day of judgment? Number one, we heard about this morning, the sacrifice of Christ. That's the supreme sacrifice. It was a sweet odor to God. But in order for us to receive that, to make it our own salvation, redemption, sanctification, we have to first yield our heart to him. That's when we're saved, redeemed, born again, regenerated. But then there's a second work, right? It's the work of grace. Second work of grace. It's when we lay our all, not just our heart, even our fingernails, young women. We don't want to paint them anymore. Even our hair, young women, we don't want to cut it anymore. Even our lips, young men, we don't want to curse anymore because our heart has been laid on the altar. Amen. Every part of us is sanctified. We still have our human nature. We're still tempted in all points as Christ was, but there's something that has died. The carnal nature is dead. The Adamic nature is taken out. And I'm so thankful that when that is laid on the altar, that changes God's mind about everything about us. He's 100% on our side, no longer wanting to pour out his wrath upon us. Amen. We're no longer the children of wrath. And I just appreciate that part that it says that God smelled the sweet savor. And I desire that my life have a sweet savor to it. I desire that your life have a sweet savor to it. Whether you're an older person, sometimes we speak to the younger people, but sometimes there's old people that are cranky and grouchy and complaining and cursing and wicked and evil. It's not just the young people. And so whether you're young or old, may our lives, may we willingly lay on the altar, not try to wiggle off of it, because it's a voluntary thing. May we, it's a living sacrifice. I appreciate that part. A living sacrifice. I thought, why is it living? Sacrifices were killed in that day and they were burned by the fire. But the part of it that remains living is what? Our will. It's a living sacrifice. It contains a living relationship with Christ, but it's a living sacrifice because at any moment we can choose to go back. If we're deceived and tempted and yield, we can backslide. And so it's a living sacrifice, and that's what touches the Lord, is that we can choose to disobey him and take our own will at any moment, but it's a sweet odor to him because we're doing it willingly. We love him. He's won our hearts. A living sacrifice. It tells us in the Gospel according to John, chapter 12, verse 3, "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." It tells us that, another place it tells us that she broke the alabaster box and the odor filled the whole house. And I'm thankful for the odor that fills the house of God, that is the church of God. It's an order that we love to be there. We love to be at that order. There's some orders that we all like, smells. One of the ones that I like is, we don't do this very often in our home. Try to be economic, but often our neighbors all around us are having a cookout and they're making steak. You've seen that happen in your yards, and the smell just permeates the whole area. And it just, you just start wanting to drool, and you start getting hungry, and you're hoping that they'll invite you over. And I'm so thankful that we've been drawn to this order of love and of gentleness and of kindness and of meekness and of rejoicing and of praising and of holiness, the odor that permeates the church of God. We've often heard Brother Philip, and he doesn't get tired of saying, wasn't the song service wonderful? Why? Because it's fresh. It's like a fresh steak that you're eating again. You don't get tired of the smell of fresh steak. Cobbler pie, cakes baking. My plants, one of my favorite blooms is honeysuckle. I have it, and at night it just flows out throughout the whole lot in our area, and I have two plants. And I love the smell of honeysuckle. I could almost eat it. Sometimes I have eaten the flower, just so smells so good. Orange groves, citrus fruits, of lemon trees and orange trees blooming. Have you all smelled it? It is just the sweetest smell. Well, the smell of Christ to our soul is better than that. It's more attractive. It's more alluring to us than that. I have a little quirk. I don't do this in the grocery stores because they're sealed, but I look at the date and the milk. When I'm going to drink milk, I think, why do I do this? I open the lid and I smell it. Why do I smell milk? Because sometimes it can start going bad, and I've already smell it when it's bad, or when it's going bad, I don't like the way it tastes. So I smell it, and if it's old, I just pour it down the drain because it doesn't taste right. It tastes a different, you know what I'm saying? You can detect it by smelling it. You know, we can detect when something is not right, spiritually speaking, by our spiritual sense of smell. And may we be smelling what our friends are telling us, the advice they're giving us. May we be smelling what we're hearing on the radio, on the internet, saints, and may we not drink it. It can make us sick, spiritually sick. The odor filled the whole house. I was thinking of some other odors that are sweet smelling, spiritually speaking. I mentioned them already, but I'll mention the verses now. It says in Psalms 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, that will not despise. I think most of us here know that by heart, maybe quote it a lot, at least a part of it, talking about, I pray that God will give them a broken and a contrite spirit, that they will feel the need of yielding to Him or of obeying Him in this point or in that point. And there's nothing that's more attractive, better than steak, to God than the odor in our lives, in your lives, in my life, than having a broken in a contrite spirit, something that He will not despise. It gives a fragrant order. It's something that moves Him to come to us and to help us and to shed His abundant mercy and love upon us. Another one is, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. We came from a church that appeared to be very humble. When they spoke like this. That's why I spoke when I gave my testimony. Very humble people. These ministers sold everything. They didn't get married. They didn't have a house or car. Very humble. And we emphasized humble, 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 and humble until it became just a word. But here it's talking about the real humility. Yes. Really bending to every part of God's will. When we're corrected, we might want to lurch out and not accept it, but we think about it. Is that true? If it is true, how is it true? And are they mistaking? Are they getting the wrong vibe when it's really not so? And if what are the cases, we want things to be right. And we humble ourselves. May God help us. Something that is a sweet smell to God is a humble spirit. And something that repels God is a proud spirit. God resists that. May God help us to have the real humility. really bowing and bending to every aspect of God's will. Whether he says it through Brother Marty, or he says it through the man that I work with that isn't even of God, that God used to speak to me and humble me because I'm not being what I should be. Psalm 10:17 says, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble, for thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down the high looks. That's Psalm 18, verse 2. The other one, Psalm 10:17. Excuse me, I think I'm getting it right. That's Psalm 18:2, yes. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble, for thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. One thing that God detests is high looks. And you know, that's what the world is aiming at. That's why women are painting their hair, dyeing it, fancy hairdos, wearing the tight clothing, snug clothing. And that's why young men buy those expensive cars, fast-moving cars, high looks. A thing that breaks God's heart and that is stink to him is a high look. May God keep us with a humble look. That's the outward, but we have that humble look in our heart too before him. What's in the heart will show itself outwardly. If we have a high look in our heart, it's going to reveal itself in our home, in our vehicles, in our clothing, in our words, in our spirit, in our attitude. May God help us. May God help me. One time we entered a store. My wife and I did. I won't need to say the name of the store. But there were 3 minutes before the store closed and walked in. And the store clerk looked at us sternly. And she said, you've got 3 minutes, she said. And my wife and I were like, oh, you go, Lily, I'll go here, I'll get this. And we were like trying to hurry up. And that odor was not very good. And the odor of impatience. I understood. I've been a manager. I know you want to get out and you want to leave. But the customer is what keeps the store open. You show the most kindest respect and patience to the customer. But I thought, may God help me. I think of myself, do I say 3 minutes? May God help us. Yes. May God help us that the odor of our spirit would be acceptable to the Lord. Praise the Lord. It says in John 11, verse 39, Jesus said, take ye away the stone, Martha. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. We're so thankful that we no longer stink in this way or have an unpleasant odor in this way, but we all did because we were all dead in our trespasses and sins at one time. And it tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, I'll find that. Praise the Lord. I love these verses. Praise the Lord. It says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Lazarus was dead here physically, as we all know, 4 days, and Jesus resurrected him. Thank the Lord. But we were also dead spiritually at one time, and there might be some here that are dead spiritually right now. And you might not realize that now you are giving forth an unpleasant order. The things you're doing, the things you're saying, the way you're acting towards your parents, towards your family, towards those you work with. Would you like to have a pleasant order? Jesus can resurrect us and take away that stinky order. Amen. He can bring new life into us. And he can cause that there be a fragrance, a sweet-smelling odor that is well-pleasing to the Lord. Lord, help us. There's a verse in 1 John 4:5 that says, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. They speak about movies, soap operas, because they are of the world. My wife tells me a comical, my wife's very, makes me laugh a lot. She might seem very timid and quiet, but she's got a really comical family, and we're not trying to exalt that. I hope you understand. I know that the Bible speaks about foolish jesting and all that. But God has given some of us a sense of humor, and it's okay to use it in the right way. And so she said she was, her family, when she was growing up, they listened to a radio station, and there was a commercial that would come out that would say, the woman would start it by saying, "My son, how could you drink your father's milk? My son, Juan Marcos." And he goes, "My name isn't Juan Marcos." And the father comes, "Juan Gabriel, ¿cómo pudiste hacer esa cosa? How could you do that thing?" And then the commercial says, "Have you been listening to too many Mexican soap operas? The Lord can work in your life." And so, you know, what we listen to does affect us. It will teach us how to dress, how to speak. It will affect our family life. We're so thankful that the saints hold up a standard of not just, you might not even have a TV now, but there's other ways you can be watching movies. We have our cell phones now. I saw the other day we were passing by, and it's called, thank the Lord, I don't remember now, but something about paying for movies, and you can pay for it and get movies on your cell phone now. And it's going to affect us. It's going to affect the way we act. May the Lord help us that our actions would remain sweet and not have a stink, not have an unsavory odor to the Lord. Thank the Lord. They speak of the world, and the world heareth them. They speak about movies. They speak about, we were at Pizza Hut the other day. I like to sometimes go to a buffet that's $5.99, something like that, real cheap, and $5.49. My wife doesn't eat it, but she'll buy something and go with me and come in. That's only a few times I get to eat pizza. We're sitting there, and there was a man with, I guess he was listening to something on his cell phone. He had the earplugs, and he was going cursing about mentioning some football players and cursing and yelling. And I said, "There's nothing sweet coming out of him." It was all, and all of us had to hear him, and he couldn't even hear himself. He was, "Oh, why did you do that?" And cursing, and I said, "Is he crazy first?" But then I realized he was listening to maybe a baseball game, a football game, something. And they speak about the world because they are of the world. We speak about the things of God, spiritual things. Yeah, we speak about natural. I love gardening. Brother Marty likes hunting and fishing. But we're not talking about worldly things, things that are not pleasing to the Lord. Why? Because we are not of the world. And the things of the world do not interest us when we have been born again. Yes, we're going to be tempted. But the Lord has put a different interest in us now. We have been born again, and we have a new desire to please the Lord. There's other things that have an unsavory order to the Lord, an unthankful spirit. Murmuring and complaining, false doctrine has a foul order to it. Hypocrisy gives us an unpleasant order. Self-righteousness, accusing, condemning, self-righteous judgment. May the Lord spare us from those things. May the Lord help us to walk in the Spirit and to speak forth life and encouragement. Yeah, there's times for correcting. The Bible tells us to correct, exhort with all long-suffering. And all of us here would say, as ministers or as saints or as parents, that we don't enjoy doing that. But the tenor of our walk is love, patience, long-suffering, and giving another chance, and giving another opportunity, and giving another chance. Because if not, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Daniel chapter 3, verse 27. Remember, the three Hebrew children were in the fire, and the last part of that verse says, "Saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them." The smell of the fire. I find it very intriguing and interesting that the smell of the smoke did not get on their hair or their clothing. And I like to think of it spiritually speaking. I remember when I was maybe 15 years old, being in the denominational church that I was, I heard a story that still rings true today. And the minister told me to encourage me because I was living in a home with television and a drunk father, and a father would get upset and beat my mother from time to time, and yelling and shouting and no unity and just no spirit of God, no sweet order, very few times of sweet order there. And when I served, yielded my life to the Lord, I wondered, can I really remain here and still be walking according to the will of God with this TV blaring and with my dad cursing and then calling friends over to drink beer outside. Can I do it? And I did. Not in my own strength. By the grace of God. And the story that I heard was that this man visited a dump yard. Smelly, stinky dump yard. And he saw a rose bush growing there. And on the rose bush was a rose blooming. And he said, poor rose bush and poor bloom, it's going to smell like the dump. He went over and smelled it, and it did not smell like the dump. Because the odor comes from within, not from surrounding. The sweet smell will come from the indwelling Holy Spirit, from Christ in us, Christ in the hope, from God the Father abiding in us. And we are in this world, but we are not of the world. We are of this world, but we speak not of this world with the same passion that the world speaks about it. So we don't speak like them. We don't think like them. We don't live a vain style of we don't have a vain style of dress like them. We don't wear the jewelry like them. We don't adorn ourselves like them. Because we're in the dump, but we have something that comes from within that is a sweet odor, sweet smelling odor unto the Lord. Revelation 5, verse 8. I love this verse, and I know you've all read it. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And you know, it's so true. I just love hearing the saints pray. Some pray real slow, real quietly. Some pray loud and fast and with passion. However it is, when it's in the Spirit, it can be the most squeaky prayer. But if it's in the Spirit, I'll make you cry. Because it's the odor, the sweet-smelling savor of the Holy Spirit coming through that person. And that's the way God sees our odor affects heaven. In my study, in the past, I've studied about pheromones in insects and animals. In many social insects, such as ants, bees, wasps, almost every part of the colony behavior is mediated by pheromones. From queen bee signals affecting worker production within the colonies to the butler bee's rank smell, these alarm pheromone molecules activate the colony's defense against their enemies. They send out an odor, a smell, and it can make the whole, if one bee has been mashed, it'll make all the bees mad and they'll attack you because they send out a scent to attack or to feed the babies, little eggs or whatever it might be, or to speed up production. And I enjoy thinking of it this way, that our odors, our prayers, when they're in the Spirit, interceding for others, orders of thanksgiving, orders of pleading for the world that God have mercy on our relatives. I believe God hears it, and I believe God is touched, and I believe that it affects, it moves heaven in one direction or another. Think about the prodigal son. He said, I have sinned against heaven. I have sinned against thee and against heaven. And that changed in the story. The father was like God. It changed the attitude of the Father. It moved heaven. And may the Lord help us to have the right plea, the right relationship with the Lord, that our prayers will have power. Power with men and power with God. One way that our prayers can affect heaven is this verse. It says in Matthew 9:38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know what I was praying just at Monarch time? That God would move new ministers to go out. And you know what happened? Not boasting. Several started in the ministry. In fact, I was surprised that Brother Philip gave the call and many sat there for a minister's meeting. And now some of those are preaching. Some of you are here in this room. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Amen. There's a need. James 5:16, the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This order of a righteous man, that prayer, has great impact on heaven. It doesn't matter if you're a young man or a young little girl, or an older man, if it is in the spirit, all of heaven is moving. I'm so thankful for praying. Don't ever underestimate the power of prayer, saints. Thank the Lord. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 1. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Some years ago, my wife and I had a house cleaning business. We had it for 10 years. We were doing fairly well. Before we moved to El Paso, Texas, that's what we were doing. And one of our customers gave us a whole living room set, sofa, love seat, and chair. And it was brand new, except that she had a little Chihuahua dog, and he would go sit in it, and it had a little order of Chihuahua dog in it. And I thought, well, I can get rid of it. I tried everything, spraying this and that on it, and it wouldn't work. Finally, I thought about Lysol, because Lysol kills the little bacteria that's making the smell. I sprayed it, and it killed it completely. Sometimes we're tempted to look at one another and see a little bit of stink and think that that's it. We're going to push them out of the way. May the Lord help us. You know, those sofas were beautiful. I could have just thrown them out the door. We still have them. But it had to be sprayed with something to get rid of that stink. And we're so thankful that the Lord has that odor-killing solution. And sometimes it's just simply long-suffering, forbearing, patience with one another. And then God will do the rest by washing and cleansing by His precious blood. There was an elderly sister in the church that we left. In that denomination sect, they met in homes. They didn't build. They saw this building. They think you were part of Babylon because in the New Testament they didn't build church buildings. They met in homes. If you study it, but they met in a home. I don't have anything against the building. Please understand. But that's how my mindset then. This is not the church. We are the church. But it doesn't matter where we meet. Just so we have the Holy Spirit. We can meet underneath the tree. The Spirit will be there with us. But we met in homes, and there was an elderly sister that had her house full of Chihuahuas. I never visited her home, and she never invited us. But she'd meet with them, and the odor was permeating the whole clothing in her coat, and some of the women could barely stand it. And they called us, the ministers. They called us the workers, the ministers, if we could have a visit with her. And we talked about it. So, no, we can't approach her on that matter. It's going to hurt her. It's going to offend her. But I said, we'll just start visiting with her. So she started inviting us. We'd get together, and she'd invite us out to eat at Luby's. And at Luby's, we'd visit. And we found out this sister was a storehouse of spiritual wealth in her heart. And she saw that we were dressed and well-showered and clean. And after visiting with her for a while, the order started disappearing. Started dressing up more and cleaning up more. Just by that little attention and kindness that we gave her, it changed the situation without us having to actually address it. And we're thankful that what can change the order of disappointment, sadness, brokenheartedness among us? Long-suffering and patience, enduring, showing attention and love, getting to know the other person can sometimes change things better than us reprimanding or correcting. That has to be done. Please don't misunderstand me, but I think we would have done more harm in this case. Sending forth a stinking odor. That's naturally speaking. We're so thankful that it's not God's desire that any should perish. He can remove the dead flies and their offensive odor. And may God help us in our marriages. We can find little things that might stink to us with those we meet with. It might not be right, but may we be long-suffering and gentle and kind and show attention, and we will see some changes. People will take correction from us better when they know that we love them and we hear them, and it won't hurt them then. Praise the Lord. Ezekiel, try not to be too long here. Ezekiel chapter 20. I'll just go to the part, verse 41. God said to his backsliding people that were worshiping idols, etc., I will accept you with your sweet savor when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries wherein ye have been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. That was intriguing to me. I will accept you with your sweet odor. And when Jesus comes back, he's only come back for what's his own. If we have his Holy Spirit in us, he's taking us. And I'm so thankful that today we're accepted in the beloved. When we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit with us. Thank the Lord. But when we're sanctified, we have him in us. And he's coming for that which is his own. And he will accept us with our sweet smelling odor. And what causes sweet smelling odor to the Lord? That we lay our own altar. That burning pride up. Fire of the Holy Spirit comes down, burns out our pride, burns out false doctrine, burns out pettiness and complaining and murmuring. A sweet odor unto the Lord rises up. I read something in my researching about odors that was interesting. I'll tell you what happened first in my own experience. We have cats. Two cats had a litter, which we don't want anymore cats, but we're going to give them away. And in the litter, one cat had certain kittens, and amount of kittens, and some died. And I'm not going to give all the details, but I had to separate them, the dead ones from the live ones. And the live ones smelled bad. They smelled like dead cats. And so I thought immediately, I'm going to wash them. So I got a little towel with a little daughter bleach and soap, and I started cleaning them. And they smelled pretty now. So I gave them back to the mother, and she would smell them, and she'd go out and leave, and she didn't want them anymore. And I thought, all of a sudden I thought, what have I done? I should know better. I rubbed up the smell so she doesn't recognize them. Cats recognize their kittens not by color or the size, whatever, but by smell. And I rubbed off the odor, and now she didn't recognize her kittens, and she didn't want them. She'd look at them, and she just stayed, and I said, what do I do now? I'm going to have to hand feed these kittens. I don't have time. So I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to rub. The mother had odor in her legs. I'm going to rub odor off of her legs. And I rubbed it back in the kittens, and I put them back in. She smelled and accepted them. We don't want the world telling us, sisters, you need to dye your hair. You'll look better if you dye your hair. Oh, you know what, brother? Your wife doesn't have to know. You can go with us, play cards with her at the bar. She'll never know. You know what's going to happen? It's going to rub off the scent, the sweet-smelling odor, and God is not going to accept us anymore. It'll eventually rub it off. And we'll have another order to us that is displeasing unto the Lord. So getting back to the story of what I read, I'll just read the article. At Tree Tiger Zoo in Bangkok, a tigress lies with her litter of piglets, yes, of pigs, after suffering the loss of her biological cubs. The piglets were wrapped in tiger skins and were fully accepted by the tigress, who had been raised by a sow pig herself. This article was by Hannah Dybal in March 13, 2015. Found that interesting that here is a tiger and a pig had pigs, and I guess the mother died too, and they wrapped the piglets with skins of tigers, and when the mother smelled them, she accepted them and she raised them. You know, in and of ourselves, we're little pigs to God. We have a nature that likes to roll around in carnality, worldliness, and we're not going to be accepted of God that way. But when we yield to God, we surrender, and we're adopted by him, he wraps us in what, saints? The righteousness of Christ. Not in our own righteousness. Our own righteousness, God doesn't accept that smell. It's repugnant to him. But the smell of Christ that's on us, we are accepted in the beloved. And I'm so thankful that I get to partake of the riches of Christ because of being wrapped, my soul being wrapped with the righteousness of Christ. I'm thankful that I've been rubbed with the odor of Christ in my soul, in my spirit, in my heart. And if there's other areas in my heart that still don't smell quite as humble as I should be, or as uncomical as I should be, or whatever might be the case, may the Lord rub it off. Amen? Praise the Lord. So he says there, I will accept you with your sweet savor. That's how the Lord will accept us. 1 Corinthians 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Verse 15. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved, and in them that perish. Verse 16. We're in 2 Corinthians 2:16. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? We are the savor of his knowledge. We have the counsel, the words of comfort and encouragement to this world. We as the Church of God, because of the Holy Spirit in us. But to some in the world, we are the savor of death unto death. There's something else that I found in my studying about smell and odors. This is what I read. There is an illness called phantosmia. It's a smell hallucination. It occurs when one senses a strong odor that isn't there. It's a dysfunction within the olfactory senses when our sense of smell registers odors that are non-existent in the air. I thought it interesting. I've had that happen when I smell something, maybe gas is on and it's not on. But there are some people that suffer with this all the time. They smell something good when it's not there, and they smell something bad when it's not there. I was thinking about spiritually speaking. Could it be possible that we could be smelling things in one another that are just simply not there? That the devil has brought on to cause confusion, disruption, and disunity. Sometimes you can imagine things about people that are not so. Or you could say you're smelling things there that are just not there because you don't know the person. Because you misinterpreted what they're thinking and what they're saying and their actions. May the Lord help us. May he save us. May he save us from phantosmia, this smell hallucination. And that's what the world has. They've been affected with this hallucination, this spiritual illness, phantosmia. When they smell us, you know what they smell? Boring people, old-fashioned people, people that have no fun and no joy. Do you understand what I'm saying? They don't smell anything sweet because the devil has given them this illness. And that's what happened to Jesus. Who would have had more? I read that our beloved's breath freshens the air, perfumes the air in that song. Who would have had the most sweet, like that honeysuckle odor, more than Christ? And how did the world treat him? They judged him, nailed him to the cross, crucified him, stayed away with him. I was looking at those verses that speak about him. Praise the Lord. It says in Luke chapter 23, verse 1, and the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. Christ, this fair one that is so sweet smelling, so attractive to us spiritually speaking. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King. 3. And Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the King of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou sayest. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no foul order in him. I find no fault in him, in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place. Why is it that the world is not attracted to Christ? They're spiritually ill in their mind, in their heart. Yes. They don't have the born-again nature. They're not sharing the divine nature that God has shared with us. So don't be ashamed when they look at you and say something derogatory about the way you dress. I'm not telling you anything new. I'm trying to encourage you. When they say something about why you don't use musical instruments in your church, isn't it boring? Or why you don't have this, or why you don't go there, why you're attractive in Christ. Because they have something ill. In the rose of Sharon, I have roses and I have flowers, and they all give off a beautiful fragrance and a beautiful smell. We all know what that means. And that's what Jesus is to us. He's the Rose of Sharon. Chapter 5, verse 2. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks are wet. Excuse me. And my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels removed for him. Verse 5. We're in Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 5. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hand dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of a lock. And I really enjoyed studying about myrrh. It smells like candy licorice. It grows in the Arabian Peninsula in India. And they derive myrrh and frankincense from these gnarled, stunted trees. Gnarled and stunted trees. I think of Christ, that the world does not find anything beautiful in him. He's a gnarled. The Church of God is gnarled and stunted to them. Christ is gnarled. The Bible is gnarled and stunted to them. But that's where you get myrrh and frankincense. It's a little white milky substance that comes from these trees. And that's this man, the beloved in the Song of Solomon, typifies Christ, as we all know. And when he came to the door of his bride, which is the Church of God, Song of Solomon and his bride here, typifying Jesus and the Church of God, he reached out to the door knob of the heart. And she didn't want to get up. She'd already gone to bed. She didn't want to be troubled. Sound familiar in the world? Oh, I can't go to services. I've got to bake, cook. I've got to work. She didn't want to be troubled. But just that touch of you testifying to them and you tell them about Christ, that tract, can leave a scent there. And that was enough to draw the attention of the woman to get up and to go looking for her beloved. May I encourage us that whether it's a tract, whether it's a prayer, a little short testimony, and they don't want to open to us, it can leave that scent on the doorknob of the door, and it could move them to get up. Verse 6, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself. He'll withdraw if people resist. And was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave no answer. Verse 11. Verse 10. My beloved is white and ruddy and chiefest among the thousand. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of the waters, washed with milk and fitly set. Verse 13. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet smelling myrrh. I am so thankful that, I like to read the Word of God every day. I'm going to finish here. And some would say, you've already been reading the Word of God since age 11. You're 51 now. You've read many of the books over and over. Isn't it boring to you? No, it isn't. The Word of God is living. And as you mature, you're able to comprehend more. So things that you read 5 years ago, you'll comprehend them now more if you keep on reading the Bible. I've read through many books over and over again. I just finished the Song of Solomon. I'm now in the Book of Psalms again. And I'm thankful that to me, yet still, my beloved is sweet. He has a sweet odor to him. And may we keep that alive. May we not allow that to die in us. May we keep it well watered. May we allow the Holy Spirit to produce those pleasant fruits, blooms of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and goodness.